Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, speaking to us heart to heart, from His Spirit to our spirit man. And He has much to say. He can see all things as they go on. He can see the course of our life. He can even see where we're headed. You know, like I always say, He can see through time. Every decision has its own future attached to it. So when the Holy Spirit guides you, when He guides us, we have to understand that He loves us. That He's, one day we're going to greatly appreciate His guidance, the knowledge of His sharing what He knows will take place. And just like He steers us from trouble, He also alerts us to what's best. You know, there were times He showed me things that was best for me, things that I may have overlooked, and I thank Him for it. One was the church I go to. I remember saying, "Lord, do you have anybody that really want to follow God?" I was so disgruntled with the cold religion that I kept running into. And the Lord, and the church is in my neighborhood. I mean, it's not 3 miles away. And I thank God for Victory Christian Fellowship. And I've seen a lot of moves of God that was forming well. Great things were happening. But Satan would always do something, and the people would scatter and the work would be unfinished. And I'm not talking about minor things. I'm talking major progress was going on, because they didn't know how to fight. Even though they knew about authority, they didn't know how to fight. A lot is lost because people just don't know how to fight. And their focus. If you focus on your success and how you look and how famous you're going to be, it's not going to work. You're not going to go any further, and you're going to struggle. But if you look at Him, you will do a perfect work. And, you know, it may not look like much to man, but a perfect work of God is, it wins souls. It puts people on fire again in the love of God, in track to love God. That's a real work. That's what moves the Holy Spirit. That's what He's after. Now let's take a few looks at some works that didn't seem like much. We'll start with Stephen. You know. But before we get to Stephen, let's look at Peter, the man at the beautiful gate. He was lame. He was begging. Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you." And they commanded him to stand, and he leaped and ran, and that was a work of God that nobody could deny. And it stirred the crowd. No matter what people thought, no matter what their opinions were, more light was shown, to the point that it aggravated the high priest and the Pharisees, and it was well known, and the public loved it. A lot of them got saved over it. People got more dedicated because of it. And they said, "Don't you preach no more in that name." Peter said, "I can't but speak." Now, to many, that was a beautiful work of God. Progress was made. The man could walk around and earn money again. You know, it made the headlines of the day. It was broadcast through the streets. And see, back then, they didn't have cars, so you had to pass by a lot of people as you travel, as you go from place to place in the city. And everywhere that guy went, "That's the lame man. That's the man at the beautiful gate." And they could tell that his legs were skinny because they never were used. And he had to grow muscles over years, you know. So that miracle lasted a long time. It was the headlines for a while. But Peter, you know, they faced trouble because of it. Satan was angry. And a lot of people talked about him, talked against him. They were angry. Cold religion at its worse. I bet some of them wanted to stone the man, but it was against the law and they couldn't. Now, hatred is out there. In every form, wherever you go, there are people who hate the move of God. So if you're trying to cater to people, that's not going to work. The Holy Spirit is always the light and out front. He does what he does in the light. He's not doing anything in a corner. And he does it well. And he loves us. And he's not concerned about the anger of men. He's after the heart of those that will love him. And to get to them, you got to do bold things. And a lot of people are not willing to slay the giant. They let the giant talk too long. And they try to ease around the giant. And Goliath's out there cursing your God, and you trying to ease around him to spare their feelings. David killed that joker. Now, we don't kill them with bullets and guns, unless they start a fight, of course. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They're spiritual warfare, spiritual weapons. And they are more mighty than natural weapons. And there are people that will kill, you know, like ISIS. And they start wars, and we have to go kill them until they stop. And then they're terrorists. You have to, you know, be watchful. But cold religion is just as bad. And you do what God said do anyway. Even when it looked like you're going to lose everything. You do what God said do because God said do it, and that's enough for us. If God tells me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not concerned about how good I look or how much money I'm going to get out of it. And to be honest, most of the time when I do what God say do, I don't get any money for it. But that's not, I don't care. You're going to get spiritual wealth anyway. And spiritual wealth is on my life. And it can come back to me however God see fit or however I pray. Because if you do God's perfect work, if you do what God tells you to do, you're going to be fine. You don't need props and crutches to try to please men and to do a work of God. The work of the Lord is beautiful, and it's worth it. I love God. I don't care about all the pressures of this life. I only care about doing God's work. And I do it in joy. Now let's look at another work of the Holy Spirit. Stephen. He gave a synopsis of the whole Word of God. And he covered the works of Moses all throughout the Old Testament. And they stoned him for it. He opened the Word up correctly. Aside from the religious glasses and the opinionated glasses that they were wearing in that day. They thought they were righteous by law. But he preached righteousness by faith. And he preached appropriately. He taught the word according to Jesus. And he got stoned for it. You know, that didn't look successful to some. He died. But he did a work of the Holy Ghost. And that was a man standing there holding another man, one of the stoners' coat, that was named Saul, who was a Pharisee. He had enough restraint not to throw stones, but he did hold the man's coat that was stoning Stephen. And he heard the word, and the word got in his heart. And he was on his way to persecute Christians and kill Christians and a terrorist. And Jesus knocked him down on the road to Damascus. Jesus did. He appeared to him. See, cold religion would think that Jesus can't appear to people. If he has to, he will appear to people. And there are many wonderful people that he know of that have never heard the gospel, and he come to them and appear to them in visions and dreams and teach them the right way. Because they earnestly want to know God. And they cast their idols to the side. Because the Holy Spirit is looking for people of faith. Anybody that can have faith, he will help you. I love that. You know, I used to be very concerned about, well, what about people that are out there? I knew that there were people out there that don't have anybody to come and tell them that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus died to save for us, died to save them, rose again to justify them. His blood washed away. Everybody needs to know, understand this. This is too important. And you tell some people, they'd rather talk about what they're going to eat for lunch. And they grew up around churches. They ignore all the churches in their neighborhood. And then, you know, wherever there's churches, there are people that love God in many cases. And some people are outstanding. And they love because their love for God is outstanding. And they say things and people ignore the works of the Holy Spirit. And that's not good. It's terrible. Some people grow up in a Christian home and they still ignore God. They don't want him. But there are people that would love to know God. And they're out there and they are the children of people who grew up in these false religions. Because people want to know God. They would love to know God. And the Holy Spirit knows every one of them. Now, if Jesus appeared to a man, it's because he is crying out. His heart is hungry. And the Lord knows that he's another Paul. You know, Saul's name was turned to Paul. And he wrote a great portion of the New Testament because he was dedicated. He stayed faithful to the love of God. Now, let's look at some of the works of Paul. How, you know, first of all, he was in prayer a lot. And the Holy Spirit separated he and Barnabas. And they went out and did works. And eventually he and Silas. Now in chapter 16, he was going about doing good, preaching the gospel like he was supposed to. And let's take a snapshot of his ministry. This man was sent to the Gentiles to preach a gospel that sounded weird to them. And while he was teaching them the truth of God's word, the Jews, the rogue Jews, were trying to kill him and stop him and hinder his progress. And he had to build tents. He had to make tents and sell tents and get paid for making tents in order to fund the gospel that he so dearly loved. And that's how he did it. Eventually, Priscilla and Aquila came and helped him. And they carried the gospel all over the place. They did it for years. Well, in chapter 16, he ran into a thorn in his flesh. A damsel full of a spirit of divination was crying out, "These are the men of God that show us the way of salvation." And just mocking them and aggravating them, running people away from them, making light of the gospel, mocking them. And this didn't happen in just once. See, this happened often, to the point that he asked the Lord about this three times. And this, see, people think, cold religions say, well, his thorn in the flesh was an illness. All right, let's look at something for a minute. How can a man that write almost three quarters of the New Testament have an illness, especially an eye problem? How could he write in jail now? Would he get a prisoner to write it for him? That, you know, prisoners probably couldn't write anyway. No, he didn't have an eye problem. The Satan lies to Satan. False doctrine. Taught by foolish instructors. But the Word of God, it represents the Word of God. The Bible is its own commentary. The first mention, if anybody look up the first mention of a thorn in the flesh and Paul being a Pharisee, if they didn't drive out the Canaanites, God said they would be like thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes. And that's precisely what she was. And she wasn't even a Jew. She was a damsel, a Gentile girl. Just out there harassing Paul. And he rebuked that spirit of divination. And that familiar spirit left her. She couldn't divine anymore. tell people their business. You know, all she was doing was giving a false word of knowledge. Demon spirits know things about your people. They used to deceive your ancestors, so they know you, they know your mother, your daddy, their parents, so on and so forth, all your cousins. The demons know this because they've been harassing your life for years, tempting you away from God for years. So that spirit knew things about the people that she was around, and they were making money off her. So the men that was using her to get money had Paul arrested. So a ministry, a work of God, don't always look pretty. It doesn't always look fantastic. All the ministers want to wear suits and all the, you know, that's wonderful in its setting. But it's not always the way it turns out if you follow God. Because God will lead you to where the hot spots are. He'll lead you to where people want to hear Him. Not just the first church on the corner. That's not the only way God works. Once people are stable, then they'll go to church. But some people have to go out where they are and minister life. Well, I'm afraid of that part, that side of ministry. Why? That's where the joy is. And sometimes it is a big old building on the first corner somewhere. Whatever God give you, that's what you're suited for. That's where the hot spots are. That's where you're going to be successful. And I don't, you know, most works of God, they don't look pretty. Paul ended up in jail worshiping God. And he had an earthquake happen that opened all the doors and none of the prisoners left. And, you know, prisoners, they want to get away. But they wanted to stay because they love God. I believe that they got saved. So when the devil had Paul arrested, he didn't know that the people in prison had a heart to know God. And when they saw Paul worshiping God in the jail, they wanted in on it. And even the prison guard got saved, and his family. Situations may happen to get you where you got to be. If you look at it, if you're looking at the situation and not God, you'll miss your blessing. You'll miss an opportunity. But if you're looking to the Lord, you're going to see how to portray, how to give the revelation He's been giving you. When you're around the right people, that's when he's going to activate your anointing. If you got your anointing on, if you're not holding back and you're willing to obey Him, then you turn the anointing is ready to work. And when there's people around that have ears to hear, they're activated as well. Now the Holy Spirit knows. See, I always say it's like heavy equipment, the anointing is. And it has more than one key. It has a key for the operator, and then people who want to partake of it also can activate it. Now, it's really the Holy Spirit. When people are hungry, He releases things. And He calls you to say things. They want to know God, so the Holy Spirit know that they want to know God. They want to hear. They want to understand. They want to love life. They want to understand life. They want to understand God's word. Or they want to be healed. Whatever your anointing is, there are people out there that want answers, and their heart is searching. And when you come around and you're on fire for God, you love the Lord. You're looking to Him. You're not looking at your situation. You're not distracted with the foolish situation. You're looking at the Lord. Then you'll seize the opportunities that God give you every day. You know, a lot of us go to work. You don't have to go cross country, around the world somewhere to find a hot spot. Sometimes you work in one. Love the people that's in your presence. The people that you're around every day, practice the love of God on them. Don't look at their situations and how aggravated they are and how angry they are at their bosses and all their complaints. Look at the Lord and how you can be a blessing to them. Some people say, well, that ain't fair. People don't treat me fair. They give this one that, and they don't do this for me. Your life in this world, you ain't gonna get fair. Fair treatment is that's far away from where we are. Go to heaven if you want to be treated fairly. Just go to heaven. But on earth, sometimes the unfair treatment is your open door to your next opportunity. You get to love people in spite of the way they are and the way they've been taught. Fair treatment, that's good if you can get it, but most people don't. But the love of God is real. It's good and it's everlasting. And we're going to be, there were people that's going to be eternally grateful for your faithfulness. If you take heed what the old preacher's saying, God is going to usher you into a beautiful life. Many people who in ministry, in the book of Acts and all throughout the Word of God, their ministries didn't always look pretty, but they were very effective. And I'm not going to compromise to have a pretty ministry. I don't mind getting my hands dirty. In my ministry, what the Lord gave me was the radio broadcast and the website. And I love what I do. I enjoy it. Some people wouldn't hate it, but I love it. Because I get to minister and use this anointing God gave me every day. It used to aggravate me that I would only get to preach every 3 months, one time, or every 10 weeks or something. And I didn't get to use the gift that God had given me. And it was because of cold religion. The way ministry, traditional ministry is structured, the Lord send ministers to churches, and the pastor try to do everything. And there are ministers there that could be serving a purpose. They have anointings, and they're just going to church and wasting time. There's a training period. You can be used of God during your training period. There's a learning period. God can use you to do things in your learning period. And then there's a time you're supposed to grow up and start working. And some people finish Bible college and never start a ministry. They never start doing what God... They don't even seek the Lord about what to do. In the book of Acts, we saw Paul in prayer, Silas in prayer, Barnabas in prayer, Mark in prayer. And the Holy Spirit gave them what to do. That's not popular. I thought it would be among people that love God, but it's not. They'll rather do it man's way. And I don't even like saying that, but I run into more people that would rather do it man's way. And a fraction of people that will really go out and do it God's way. That's the saddest thing I ever see. We all know Satan is crazy, but the people of God are not. I want to see the move of God like it ought to be. Among people who really love Him. And one day you're going to have to sit in a chair and decide, am I going to follow cold religion and tradition, or am I going to follow the Holy Spirit? And those who follow the Holy Spirit, you're going to follow a real leader. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to mightily move in our lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.